Welcome back to Make It Sound Fiction. This is episode 30. And we are the podcast every week that picks apart pop culture and media that we like. No take backs. I'm your host, Nico, and I'm joined here by my co-host,
Tyler.
And we're going to talk about Steven Universe this week.
Have we talked about Steven Universe? Yeah, we have.
We have. I know okay. We have because I made an episode image.
What was it with
Blue Diamond?
Oh, we just talked about me mostly. Well, you watching it all, but redoing it, and then me watching it all. Right? Like, is that was what we were talking
yes,
about?
Yeah, that is what we were talking about. So, Steven Universe may not have completely ended. Apparently.
God. Yeah, that's a whole thing. We'll get into that.
But in our minds, it did.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it.
Was it how many episodes was it completely? Three?
Four? Five?
Five?
Maybe. I can't keep up because I watched remember. Them all in one go.
Yeah, you watched them all at once and I thought they mostly sucked, so I don't remember.
I want to say that the last
event, I mean, I can kind of look right here.
I think it was like three or five. It was three or five with, like, two coming out randomly and then, like, maybe three coming out right at the end all at once.
It was, like, four or something, I think. Mm-hmm. Well, either way, it was, like, three little episodes that were the normal, like, 11 minutes or whatever. And then it was, like, a 40-minute one that was supposed to be... And it's the season finale.
Season finale. Yeah.
The season six is confirmed and there's a movie coming.
Yeah. So that's kind of the news that sort of counters... I think our feelings for the season finale because it didn't feel like a season finale. It felt like a series finale.
And it felt like a series finale in a way that I feel like because there's other shows where I've said, oh, this feels like a series finale because it's sort of like you could end it there. But this one, like, it's not only that you could end it there, but they also wrap up so much stuff that it's just like, how is this not the series finale? What else do you have to write?
Yeah.
So that was absurd to me, I guess, that it wasn't. What
exactly? I mean, like, the thing is to kind of catch people off who maybe haven't watched in a while. What happened in this, like, little new chunk of episodes, because they have such an erratic schedule for an animated show, which is interesting. So basically, the last time there was a big chunk of episodes, Steven and all of the gems decide to head back to
Homeworld. Yeah.
Homeworld.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Homeworld in Pink's, like, sexy lady legs spaceship.
Legs go from here to Homeworld, whatever it was called.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. And
that's what the episode's called, I think.
Yeah, and basically try to... seek an audience with White Diamond.
Yeah. Which White Diamond's a character that has been teased since the beginning of the show, right? Like, or maybe not the beginning, but the first season, I think? I don't remember.
Very early in the first season. You see a glimpse of her.
It's a character that, like, people would ask, like, the creator, Rebecca Sugar, like, hey, where's White Diamond? And they'd just be like, I don't know. Somewhere.
And she finally shows up, and she locks Steven up because she thinks Steven is Pink Diamond,
which has been a thing for a long time. People thinking that he's his mom.
Yeah. And I think basically the arc of the episodes can kind of basically be summarized as Steven and his friends basically trying to work around the insane fascism, I would say, totalitarian state of Homeworld, along with Blue and Yellow, ultimately leading to a final confrontation with White Diamond, where all seems lost, except that a lot of cool things happen, where Steven gets in touch with Earth and gets Bismuth and Lapis Lazuli and Peridot to show up, and there's a lot of Steven fusions happening.
Yeah, a lot of fusions that, like, everybody has kind of wanted to see for a long time, and they just happened.
Yeah,
which,
like,
is
Pearl
another
and Steven
thing of why it feels like a series finale. But
Pearl and Steven, and all of the gems fusing together, or all the crystal gems fusing together to form obsidian. And Bismuth makes Connie a sword, and they eventually take down White Diamond, and there's a final confrontation between White Diamond and Steven, wherein she sort of, like, rips Steven from his human half and his gem half, and you sort of kind of get actual canonical acknowledgement that Steven really isn't Pink Diamond. He is literally a human and a gem fused together. Like, on, like, a spiritual or, you know, not just a physical level,
not
like but,
a
like,
fusion. A fusion. It's like a... I mean, it is a fusion, like, in the word, but not in, like, the thing in the show.
Not in the sense of the show. Yeah. Like, it's not two separate entities fusing to form
because she, like,
bigger plucks entity.
The gem from him.
And he becomes and a like, human and a gem energy sort of thing.
Gem energy. But the gem energy is not pink. It's not rose. Like, it kind of, like, shuffles through those forms, but it's just another Steven. It's just Steven. It's always been just Steven.
Yeah, so, like, the whole theory that, like, Pink was just not actually pregnant with Steven, Steven, but, like, had just transmuted herself in some capacity is also debunked. Steven is literally a formation of Pink's energy, which is, you know, a very kind of interesting metaphor for pregnancy in general, and you know, his dad. So, you also see the kind of White Diamond's facade sort of like cracking and sort of the acknowledgement that like she's a terrible leader and that she used to be different, and that it kind of played into a lot of my ideas where I was really kind of under the impression that like it was going to reveal at some point that White Diamond, Yellow Diamond, Blue Diamond, and Pink all used to be one entity at one point.
Oh, right. I forgot that you had that theory.
Yeah. And had split apart.
Yeah.
And that, and you kind of get the sense that White Diamond used to be different because Yellow, blue, pink, and white all have kind of kept each other in balance, but white sort of took it upon herself.
It was the pressure of her that,
took it upon herself to basically destroy the, like, joy and fun that they had and was also kind of really
seems
invested
like
in being,
seemed...
like, a dictator.
Yeah,
he's a dictator.
Because it seemed like White's thing was, like, yeah, I want to control everything so it's all perfect because that's
perfection
how it is. Yeah.
Yeah,
because like she literally does things where she takes over gems.
People.
Yeah, people. Yeah.
Gems.
And like turns them like in that way. And so, okay, so here's a side thing that I wanted to ask you this, but I'll ask you now. Is what do you think is up with her diamond then? Because when her diamond is like no longer controlled by her, she's pink. So do you think she was Pink's diamond? Was she the one that like got punched in that like back? Like that flashback.
Oh, you mean her pearl?
Her pearl. Yeah, not diamond. Yeah,
very possible, because I know that Pearl, the other Pearl, the show's Pearl, became Pink Diamond's pearl later on when she was on Earth, maybe because she's considered defective.
Right. I thought that was interesting because I kind of had forgotten that she turns pink when she's no longer controlled. It's like the pearl with the broken eye.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway,
it's weird. It's, again, there's still a lot that's not explained, but eventually Steven wins, you know, or the crystal gems win and convince White Diamond that she's kind of doing the wrong thing. And then all of the diamonds go to Earth and heal all of the corrupted gems, which was kind of their plan from the start, because
that's always been like the thing looming over them, is like all these gems are effectively dead in a way,
because you find out that the homeworld effectively nuked the planet into and made all of the gems corrupted, which is what happened. And then one of the few people that actually remembers it happening for real is like Lapis and Pearl, basically.
Yeah.
Lapis only remembers it because she was locked in a mirror, and that's why she's not corrupted. but you get basically the kind of like resolution of that plot, and the gems are unmutated. They're mutated, but they're at least sentient and like have their own personalities back and stuff like that. They're still, you know, kind of different looking now, but like, and then they go to Beach City and attend a concert, I guess, and everybody's happy, and it's kind of a very like Scooby-Doo ending,
yeah,
I guess.
Like Lars comes back and sees Sadie, right? And like,
yeah,
that's something we wanted to see for a while, and like Lars
I
comes back
like
in a way that,
that
is like, okay, what?
I actually liked that.
Oh,
I
liked that
loved...
too. Yeah, yeah, I did. I liked it. I just, you know, the whole idea of like Lars just showing up suddenly when that's like been a question of like, huh, I wonder how they'll ever get back, and they just happen to get back at the same time. It's kind of like, okay.
Yeah, right. There's definitely some like children's show ending writing going yeah. on, but whatever.
I didn't mind it that much, to be honest. Like, I get that. I think there's people that say, yeah, it's like a little too neatly wrapped up, but I don't know. I guess for me, it was like. Like narratively they had dealt with the big questions, so it's okay to, for me to just have all the like chess pieces like in place, you know what I mean, like just
yeah,
having them
yeah.
finish it out, because it's like, well, thematically there's nothing left, I thought, so
for the most part yeah,
yeah.
all the major mysteries have been solved for the most
yeah.
part, like we know who Pink Diamond is, we know what her impact was, we know who White Diamond is, we know I mean, like, the corrupted gems are fixed.
Right.
And that's what was plaguing, like, Beach City was, like, you know, crystal gem. Like, the after effects of, like, the gem war and stuff. That
yeah.
would be something I would love to see explored in some sort of other fashion, is, like,
yeah.
what exactly happened in the time period that, like, destroyed part of the planet. But the fact that it was going to be turned into a gem colony was probably... a mitigating factor all along. It's just the show has been so overwhelmingly been about gem lore that I wonder if the sixth season is going to be more about like Beach City still having to have like a day-to-day, you know, like the more of the humans of the show, which is
yeah.
what the first couple of seasons were about, which was like human stories,
yeah,
and not gem.
Well, they
stuff.
Turned into that because, like, initially it was a lot of like gem lore, but then it was
yeah.
like, well, this has to be a show with seasons, so we need to have some other characters.
Yeah,
which I don't think some of that stuff is definitely not bad. Like, I like Sadie, I like Lars, I like some of the characters, but like, I don't know. It feels really weird to have a sixth season if it was about that. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying like I don't think I'm gonna like it. Is because I just feel like it should have just been done with.
It
should just ended.
I think the problem is that it would have felt better as an ending if the last season hadn't been just so completely underwritten to
yeah.
begin with. Like, I felt that the fifth season and a lot of the fourth season were done on a very tight budget because this, like, they just didn't go many places. They didn't talk to many people. There were not a lot of episodes with multiple characters involved. And so the show, I think, for a lot of reasons, needs to wind up, and it should have wound up. And so, yeah, I don't know how they're managing a movie. I don't know why. I don't even also want to see the movie either.
Yeah.
I have no interest in the movie.
Because the sixth season, like, I guess the thing is that, like you're saying, this season wasn't very good. And so it's like, if you're going to end it on a strong episode like that, because I think we both liked the last episode.
We did. Yeah, yeah.
And it would be nice to just be done there. Like, okay, I'm not forgiving you, I guess, for having the bad episodes before, but it's like, all right, well, they led to this, and this one was pretty good. Let's be done now, because I don't really want to do that again, kind of thing. I don't want to go through really placeholder-y, boring episodes that look like they're cheap. And then, yeah. I mean, yeah, even if they do end it on a really good note. I still don't think... I don't know. To me, it's still really hard to ever see an ending, even if they were to go into the human stories again. Because I still think that the whole thing they did with White Diamond and figuring out who Steven was like, the essence of the show. Like, I feel like they really wrote the ending, in a way. Like, I just feel like they got to the point of the show being about, like... I don't know. It's okay to be like, it's okay to like accept things as they are now and work with them instead of like trying to fix either the past or now.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
seemed like they got there.
It did. Yeah. Like, I liked the last episode, not for the plot, but a lot of the thematic elements
yeah,
that they
yeah.
kind
the
of
plot,
moved
yeah,
through.
Whatever,
I know that's what I know. Like, yeah, the actual story beats of the plot
yeah.
were kind of like, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's going to be a happy ending. Okay. I get it.
Sure.
What what I really liked was like character growth, dialogue, and thematic elements.
Yeah. Like, I liked the stuff about Steven being Steven, not because it was like, oh, the technical part of that is explained. It's like, to me, that was saying just like, yeah, like here is the most raw version of like, this is just Steven. It's always been Steven. Let's finish this. Like, to me, I don't know, so much of this episode was just like, let's be done. Let's be done. Like, let's say the thing out. Like, let's just write that sentence and say the thing and be done. But it's not the ending, and that, like, it's weird because it almost has, it feels to me like the ending of the Avengers movie recently, where it's just like, there's more of these, so how am I supposed to feel a way about the way this one ends when there's just going to be continuing? I don't know.
Yeah. I guess I just really like the fact that, like, through all of the other stuff happening to kind of resolve the story, they at least touched on a couple of the things that were kind of the major motifs of the series as a whole, which is like, it's okay to make mistakes and it's okay to admit to yourself and to other people that you didn't act your best. It's okay to tell people that you're upset with them, and it's okay to be hurt or to be upset. Like, the whole stuff with White Diamond, it's almost like they took too much time to get there, but you get a sense that one of the reasons why Pink Diamond wasn't a very nice person in a lot of ways, and that the crystal gems, like, I found the most interesting part of Steven Universe to be all of the crystal gems having to really grapple with the fact that Rose wasn't a very nice person to them.
Yeah.
And you get the sense that Rose wasn't a very nice person to them because the diamonds are not very nice people. And I like there being a show that's willing to make people shitty and not necessarily villainous.
Yeah.
Like, their intentions their intentions are so different and interior, but they're not necessarily evil. They're just shitty, toxic people.
Like, I like how White Diamond wasn't... I mean, she did evil things, I guess, but even then, the resolution wasn't like they defeated her. They just talked to her. Yeah. And then she was like, well...
You could argue that she herself is pretty evil because she's, like, really into colonizing planets and wiping out life and stuff like that. That is definitely the evil part of it.
Yes.
And that's definitely something that the show doesn't go into enough.
No, it doesn't.
Because
it doesn't
I think it's a children's show. Yeah. And I don't know, like, if you really
want to...
They still
have the people zoo. Yeah.
They still have the people zoo. Yeah, like, if you want to watch a show that actually... A kid show that actually tackles with... grappling with the morality of a totalitarian state and, like, colonization and stuff, you might want to watch, like, Avatar, because that actually kind of grapples with that this shit's fucking messed up. Steven Universe doesn't quite get there, but in the moments where we're just dealing with the crystal, like the crystal gems and the homeworld diamonds as just people and not weird universe planet hopping, you know, world destroying colonizers, like putting that aside, which is a whole other thing. I do like the fact that there was at least a couple moments in the finale where it was just, I can definitely feel where the parts of the writing come through of, like, giving kids a place to watch a story where it's okay to tell somebody that you're scared of, that that they don't make you happy and that they make you upset and hurt all the time.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
Yeah, and I think that when you get to that, like, when you get to that point where you're actually just saying that, I don't know. To me, it just feels like a real disservice to just keep trying to write more when you could just be done.
Just be like,
it's okay that the other stuff isn't like, it's okay. I mean, like you just said, like, it's probably not going to get into like the people zoo stuff, like all of that stuff. So just end it. I just don't, Like, it, I don't know. I guess it feels, I don't know. I'm sure there are people like, oh my gosh, why are you so mad that, like, the show has an ending? And it's just like, well, to me, the writing was so powerful at the end. And it just really got to the point of why I, like, started watching the show, that I really just don't want to see more, because it doesn't make any sense to me. Because I don't see how it wouldn't be a disappointment. I don't know how they would write a sixth season that would be good to me.
Yeah, same. Unless they really kind of use it as a way, as like maybe two or three episodes, and wrote it as like an afterword.
Yeah, they wrote it almost like self-contained in its own way, like with its own sort of like goal.
With own goal, yeah.
Yeah, like, you're right. That would be not bad.
Yeah, you can handle it that way, but I have a feeling it's not.
I just don't think it will be, because the episodes before this were not very good, and so I lost a lot of like faith in how well they're going to write the show, I guess. So I just don't believe it's going to be that great. I mean, I don't know. And I'm not really that excited. Like, I already wasn't really that excited for this episode that I ended up liking.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. I don't know. And yeah, and then the movie's a different art team, and it's got a bunch of songs in it, which, you know, the songs are not bad, but
they're not what I watch Steven Universe for.
Yeah, and then like if it's a musical, I'm pretty sure it's a musical. So like I don't know. I guess I can't judge it because I haven't seen it, but it's just like, I don't know. Yeah. We don't need it.
The show really had a high point somewhere around three, like season three. Because
That's when it still felt like there was a world that was like being sort of mined away, and like, you know, you were learning stuff about everything.
A world that's slowly being mined away. Real good choice of words, Tyler. Wow, too soon.
They just felt like they were actually interested in talking about the place that, like, everything, you know, like the big picture stuff, but also having the small stories.
I was thinking of like the high points of like the My Show experience has been when they really make a statement about the nature of the characters' relationships. Like,
yeah, well, that's what I mean.
Yeah, like, yeah. When Ruby and Sapphire unfuse, and that storyline was really powerful to me.
Or even the stuff where Pearl's like jealous of Garnet.
Oh God, yeah. You know? Pearl is jealous of Garnet. Pearl is talking, like, when you finally do find out the truth about Rose Quartz, and the sort of that you realize that Pearl really fucked up and kept the secret for all these years, and that this changes everything. Yeah. That's the cool stuff. And then in between,
to me, that's like the big picture stuff, but it's wrapped up in the smaller stories.
Yeah, yeah. And then in between, everything else is just bad writing. Other than a couple of like the human episodes. Yeah. I really like the stuff with Sadie. I actually thought that was really good.
Yeah, I almost kind of cried, honestly, a little bit at the end of the last episode with Sadie. Because it was it was so subdued, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, because we've been through a lot with Sadie. Sadie's been through a lot, and so just like her being like, yeah, I'm a rock star, like, yep. Yeah. I don't know, something about that was kind of sad, but yeah,
it will. I like that she kind of got, like, I feel like so much of the early show with Sadie in particular was her really just getting shit on by everybody.
Yeah.
And you don't see a lot of TV shows where like chubby nerdy girls get to like succeed in any capacity.
Yeah.
So
do what they want. Like, she's doing the thing that she's always wanted to do.
Yeah. Too. So yeah, that makes you really happy. And the fact that like Lars got to grow the fuck up and maybe won't treat her like shit, because that whole relationship, that dynamic of her like being in love with Lars, even though he was a complete asshat to her. And now she doesn't really need him. And
yeah, it just took him dying, you know?
Yeah, it took him dying, you know, like, just took him dying and being, like, you know, Rose Quartz resurrected and, like, you know, turned into, like, a wormhole and being a space pirate. And I don't know, like, I thought their character growth was really good. But yeah, like, I really don't know what season 6 is going to be about, and I don't know what the movie's going to be about that's actually going to contain the things that I actually like about Steven Universe, which is, you know.
Yeah, for all we know, the movie could just be them, like, going on another trip to Vegas or whatever they did. Or not Korea, I guess. Didn't they go to Korea? I don't know. They went somewhere.
They went to Korea to see Rose Quartz's palanquin.
Right. So it's like, I don't know, it could just be some random trip that they go on that just separates them from Beach City.
And reintroduces the most annoying character in the series, which is that little fucking gem.
Oh, I forgot about her. She's going to be in it. I forgot.
She's going to be in it, yes. Yeah. And I forgot her name, cool, but yeah. The shitty British accent and, like, annoying dialogue.
Apple doesn't have any really strong feelings about her, so.
I don't really, you know.
I forgot that she was the thing.
She seemed like she was ripped out of, like somebody really was into the Cowboy Bebop, like, Pierre LeFou, or, like, Perrault LeFou, whatever that character was. Like, we were really into that character and decided to drop it into Steven Universe. Which
is annoying as shit. I guess, but
I don't know, like, I think what we talked about a lot this week off the podcast was just kind of not even just Steven Universe specific, but was just like, it's okay to let things end.
Yeah.
Stories need to end sometimes.
Not even, I don't even think of it as like, let, you know, I think of it as like, it's okay to just write the ending. You know what I mean? Like, it's okay to force the ending in a way, like not force in a bad way, but you know what I mean? Where it's just like, it's okay to be like, I just want this to be done now. Mm-hmm. And I think there's not enough, just generally, there's not enough stuff that is okay with just being done. Every, you know, with all the sequels, and then there's prequels of stuff, and there's just ongoing stuff that is just like really kind of searching for things to like talk about, you know? And it just, I'm trying to like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like things that should just be done. I mean, well, I don't know. I guess I can't think of anything that, like, I want to actively be done now, I guess. But there's, I remember, like, when I was watching Breaking Bad, that I was excited about them being like, this is the last season. We're just going to write it from the beginning that it's going to end, kind of thing. And that last season felt really strong because it was just ending. The same thing with Mad Men. The ending of Mad Men felt like, oh, yeah, they know it's ending. So it made for a better season, I feel like. And like those things went on for a long time, so it's nice that they ended. I don't know, I just think it's a good thing to do with a lot of stuff because
the problem is that I use let because I think in this point in media history it's so much more important to people to make money off of properties.
Yeah.
And then just
I know what you meant.
Yeah, keep them in like cryostasis. Like keep them in like this suspended animation where they just get shittier and shittier.
There's an ending teaser. Yeah.
Yeah. And the story just meanders, but it doesn't matter because they're making money off of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like, you know, stories in the grip of like capital C capital is why we get like so many narratives that just stretch on forever and don't have a point and then just get canceled versus like having a plan to end, having a plan to let it go, having a plan to like,
I think,
resolve it.
This is weird. I feel like we just confirmed a thing to me that I always had an issue with about a movie. It was the whatever, what's the Episode 7, Star Wars. What's the name of that one?
Which one's 7?
7's the newest. Well, the newest of the trio, but it's the first one.
It's Hope. New Hope? New Hope.
The last... New Hope? Yeah. Okay, the reason why I think I had an issue with that movie is because it's so beat by beat the original movies that it feels like, did we have to do this? Like... You know what I mean? And I know that people like Star Wars and everything, and like I didn't dislike that movie, but a lot of that movie I was just like, we have this already. I understand you're like trying to like subvert expectations by like sort of redoing it, but not. But like, I feel like it kind of fits with what you're talking about, which is just like, well, the money we'll probably make this fine, and I'm sure it was successful, right? But, like, we kind of already did that. We could have been done. We didn't actually have to write another Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
You know? And, I mean, that's one example. But to me, that just bugged me because it was just like, if we're really going to just do the same thing, maybe we just shouldn't.
Yeah. It's about the value of a franchise versus the value of
good
storytelling. Yeah.
It's like franchise over storytelling, exactly.
And you could definitely argue that that's profitable because people don't want stories anymore. They want franchises.
I kind of almost agree they don't in some ways sometimes, especially with like Marvel Cinematic Universe stuff. Some of that stuff ends up being like, oh, you just want a franchise. You don't really want a story.
Yeah.
Because like, I won't spoil it, but like, I still think that the ending of Avengers to me is franchise over story because it's like, here's something dramatic because you expect this. But we've already announced the other movies.
You've already had a plan to have 10 other movies.
Like, there is no way that's storytelling to me. That is just like, yeah, you know how it is. You'll be back next summer.
Yeah. And so it means that none of the, like, emotional plot beats of Avengers stick, literally. And people don't care.
Like, that's the thing, is people don't care.
Yeah. And you could argue, like, well, comic books reboot things all the time, and this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, well, except for the fact that, yes, they do, and that is how they make money, there's still comic books. You have to kind of approach comic books a little bit differently in terms of, like, there's definitely a lot of that money-grubbing, no-story sort of thing. But the thing is that... like every other media, there's definitely places where somebody puts together a moving, compelling story within the fabric or the confines of the money generation engine, basically. Like, there's definitely been runs of the big two comics that have stories that are definitely impactful, even if they're never going to have the same level of, like, canonical... canonical stopping points. Like, I don't think that's ever going to happen, but, like, there's definitely been runs of certain comic books that have been sort of moving, that sort of thing. But then I think about something like Sandman, which, again, wasn't a superhero comic, but the original run of Sandman, Neil Gaiman definitely went on record after it was done, and people are like, well, you could have just kept doing Sandman. You could have kept just doing it. And he's like, no, the story was over. I was done with it. I had said everything that I wanted to say with it. And I read that when I was in high school, and that kind of sensibility about knowing where your stories are going and where they're going to stop is such an important thing as a writer. And I really wish that we had that kind of sensibility, or enforce that kind of sensibility on more creators versus, like, having to continue things to make stockholders a lot of money.
Yeah. Because I think the argument about, like, oh, but that's how comics do it, or that's how, like, they make money, I think that forgets that, like, stories are stories are stories. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you're saying, like, story, that's not how stories work, really. Like, the reason why we've been telling stories for thousands of years or whatever is because, like, they usually have, like, a message and they have an ending. Like, they have, like, that's how it works.
The ending makes the rest of the story make sense.
Yeah. So it's like the idea that, like, well, but this hasn't been doing that. Well, it's like, yeah, just because it isn't doing that doesn't mean it's the right way. That's just a way we've been doing it. So yeah, I think you're right. Like, you're right that, like, it's good to recognize that stuff because that's how stories are made. That's how stories work.
Yeah, I kind of want, I mean, obviously we're never, I mean, we ultimately, if we want to have, like, the pure genesis of art come forth, we need to not live in a capitalist society, sure, 100%. Yeah. I understand that that's a reality, and people got to eat and pay rent and stuff like that, and, you know, until we, like, just pay artists to be artists, it's, you know, people are going to do this sort of thing, but I think that all of these industries are definitely into, like, just selling you kind of this, like, nutrient-rich bath of, like, lore tidbits versus actual narratives.
I know people like Dark Souls 2, but I still think Dark Souls 2 is still the same crap, and so is Dark Souls 3. That series should have ended with the first one.
But at least it ended. It ended,
but there's a sequel. Like, I think it's also guilty, right? It's also guilty of the thing we're talking about.
But would you argue that because they stopped at 3, at least...
Oh, yeah. Like they're not doing a 4. Yes, but I think they could have stopped at the first one.
Okay, okay.
I still think it was a little franchise over story. I really like how you came up with that now. I still think it was franchise over story for 2 and 3. I still think that. I don't know. Because 3 doesn't... I don't know. There's a whole thing. I won't get into that. But, yeah, like, I still... I mean, yeah, it's cool they ended in 3, but that's 3 games. Like, what if we just made 1?
Yeah, it was a tight experience of 1. Yeah.
Like, we're going to have a Last of Us 2. That doesn't even make any sense, really. I mean, yes, the trailer was interesting. We talked about it. But it's like, you could have just had 1.
There's even more last people.
Yeah, like, it just doesn't... Like, we can just have... I don't know. I just don't understand. I understand, but like we just explained. But capitalism.
Why is there 15 Final Fantasy?
Yeah, well, okay.
No,
I'm
just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah. That's a joke. Don't fucking write letters. I get it. I understand.
An old one, too. Final Fantasy, am I right?
Why was there only more than one Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
Final Fantasy.
Why is there more than one Animal Crossing? They're all not very good. No, I'm kidding.
What? We're gonna get so many angry letters. I wanted Steven Universe to be a better written show, a tighter experience, and I think that they could have done it, but I understand that there was some technical and financial limitations that probably happened.
There's always stuff we don't know, you know?
Absolutely.
There's always stuff we don't understand, but...
But it's one of the reasons why I think... The idea of fan-created works is so interesting because I think that that is a place sometimes where...
Yeah.
Retooling of narratives to kind of do certain things happens, or it can happen.
Somebody writing the human stories of season 6, but, you know, themselves. I don't know.
Yeah. It's interesting. Kind of that negotiation between fandom and canon, and I want to bring up, I feel like this would be a good discussion for another episode because this is maybe tangential to what we're talking about, but Mike Rugnetta, who I'm friends with on Twitter, wrote a really amazing essay on his like drip account called Canon is an Abyss that talks about this idea of like authorial intent and franchises and lore versus canon and fandoms.
I know. I actually
fandoms.
Really need to read that because I am writing a thing about this.
You do. Because it's, I think it'll really kind of inform some of what we're talking about. I'm going to link it in the show notes. Let's maybe consider this homework for next week.
Yeah,
let's consider
actually,
this homework
next
for
week
next
I'm
week.
Probably will have more to say about this anyway.
Yeah,
so.
Let's talk about, because I know that that's something that we've been talking about for the last couple of episodes, especially in regards to like Overwatch. This idea of he wrote this whole essay that sort of jumped off the whole like wizard poop discussion that everybody was having on Twitter.
I don't know if nobody knows that, like, you haven't said the like name of the
Harry Potter.
Haven't said Harry Potter. So you just saying that is really funny, I guess. Until
Harry
I
Potter
broke
wizard
it.
Poop.
But
yeah,
I wanted to leave that as you just saying gonna... wizard poop, and everybody in the listening would be like, wait, what is she talking about? Is this the right podcast?
Yeah, it jumps off of like the Harry Potter wizard pooping discussion and really goes into
what you called a discussion.
It was a discussion.
Yeah, I guess it was. It's just funny.
It wasn't good, but it was a discussion. But uses that as a really funny jumping off point to kind of go into what the idea of canon is in the modern contemporary sense.
Yeah.
And how
it's really
how social media impacts it, how
canon is weird right
it.
Now.
It is. It's extremely weird.
Which is something, it's funny because I think this is really funny because you linked this to me, but I didn't get to read it because I was writing my own thing about canon. And it was I was thinking a lot about canon, and I was coming to a similar conclusion of just being like, it's really weird at the moment because of the way just franchises and the way media works. And yeah, like you said, social media, like it's still like we talked about this week before with the soldier thing, where it's like Michael Chu confirms the thing about Soldier being gay, but in a tweet.
And he definitely talks about that. Okay. He definitely talks about that in terms of, like, not that specific,
but the idea of creators confirming, right?
Yeah, it was a tweet. Well, it was a tweet that was based on a piece of Pottermore fiction where the wizard poop fact was dropped in as a parenthetical aside in the middle of an article that J.K. Rowling wrote for the site in, like, 2006.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, mind-blowing that that's how, you know, things of that nature that in the article that Mike wrote, he quoted it as, he called it paratext, which is a term that came through Lindsay Ellis, who's a YouTuber who does a lot of media criticism. It's not the text, it's not the work, it sort of sits alongside it and kind of does different things with it. So I think everybody that listens to our podcast should read that essay. I'm giving everybody homework, including Tyler,
and then play Dark Souls 1, 2, and 3, and then we'll be able to talk about canon.
But I think, think about the canon of the works that you most are passionate about, and then we'll have a discussion. You know, maybe write us some questions. Maybe that this is a good topic that, you know, what are your thoughts after you read the essay? What are your thoughts on the way that canon is shaped, created, broken apart in this contemporary era of franchising, media, reboots, things of that nature, creators going on social media, that sort of thing. So read this essay.
It makes me think because I was just watching Resident Evil 2, which is a game that is a reboot / remake of the original game that is called that, but is like has different story elements, but you know, like that's weird, right?
Yeah, and that's something that Mike goes into is that, and that's why he calls it that canon is an abyss, is like it's not really a word of truth anymore. It's not really a set of things handed down by a creator. It's literally this like gaping void that fans take parts of themselves and throw into. Like it's all consuming and destructive in a lot of ways and tears itself apart. It's like it's created by a void. It's like a void versus a holistic sort of thing. So the idea of, I mean, like, canon is meaningless now when we have so many reboots and remakes and retreads and, like, re-envisioning of things.
Like, it doesn't even mean anything because
it's
not
meaningful anymore. Yeah. It's, you know, so your point about Resident Evil is completely on key, and that will probably come up in our discussion next week, so.
Yeah.
Steven Universe, though.
Yeah. It's a show that isn't over.
That's the strongest thing you can really say about Steven Universe, a show that's totally not over yet.
Gosh. It sucks because, I mean, we've went over this, but I can't imagine what it would be like if it were actually over and how much I'd like that episode. But you can't fight remembering that it's not, and it's like, oh, okay.
The show will live on in my brain right now. My canon, my interpretation of the canon will be that the show ended and everybody lived happily ever after.
Which I honestly think that is totally fair. Like,
it's totally fair.
I think it's totally okay to be like, I'm done.
Yep.
So
it's good to know when to check out, even if the even if the show's creators or the writers or whoever's building.
Oh, I just thought of something else that would add to the conversation next week is Game of Thrones. Because it's the show is its own canon.
The show is its own canon now. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I'm pretty sure George has said that the show is very different from the books now. Like the way he's gonna be writing the books is not the show.
Be a forking path in the road?
There's just a lot of stuff.
Multiversal canon.
Because Game of Thrones is coming back really soon-ish.
So. Soon. Like April, I think?
Yeah, April or May. Yeah. Oh. And that's not even the last season.
Nope. And they're also making a new series that deals
with the spin-off,
past or something. I don't know.
Totally.
Yeah. Either way, I think this is probably where we should end our show for now. Tyler, where can we find you on the internet?
At Tyler Culp on Twitter, TylerCulp. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/Tyler_Culp. I write for Blizzard Watch, blizzardwatch.com. I also stream for them. You do too, which is twitch.tv/blizzardwatch.
You can find me on Twitter at Apple Cider Witch, on Twitch at Apple Cider Witch. I also do stream at Blizzard Watch. I don't think we have any pieces out at the moment.
Yeah.
You have one coming out soon.
Like Blizzard Watch. we vaguely mentioned your Soldier piece, but that's in 2 weeks ago.
Also, if you want to follow the show on Twitter, you can follow us at MISFcast, all in word, on Twitter. Also, if you want to write us a question, you can tweet it at us or email us at makeitsoundfiction@gmail.com. If you have any comments or questions about, we'll link Mike's essay in the show notes. Send us your ideas about canon and the nature of canon and lore and franchises to us. Also, if you like the show, rate and review us on iTunes. We'll read your review on the show. Also, if you love the show, tell your friends, tell your family, tweet about us, retweet our tweets. Good time. Helps get the word out there. And our intro and outro music is done by Maddie Myers, and you can find everything that she does at minimyers.net. That's MIDIMYERS.net, and Minnie Myers on Twitter. We will see you next time.
Bye.